thank you all for being here. I am so very blessed and happy to be here with these open minds and open hearts. And so I just want to start with a quick little meditation. Just super simple. You know, because we've been driving. I was out in D.C. last night. You know, life is stuff and people are sick and healing and, you know, things are going on. So let's just do a little meditation. So, you know, just get comfortable, however that looks to you. If you want to close your eyes, that's awesome. If you want to keep them open and look at a spot on the rug or the wall, that's awesome too. And let's relax a little bit. Let's take a deep breath in. And exhale slowly. And I'm inspired today because my roommate is celebrating her grandma's 90th birthday in Waikiki, Hawaii. And so, let's have a minute and let's imagine we're there. The warm sand, golden or white, depending on the beach, or even volcanic ash and dark, is on your back and it's warm because it's been bathed in the sunshine all day. It's on your body and it's relaxing and you melt into it. And then you hear and you feel the ocean nearby lapping gently at the shore. And she sent me pictures, and that water is a magnificent color. Teal. Blue like you've never seen before. And just take another deep breath in and let it go. And maybe you smell coconut. Maybe you smell plumeria, which is one of the most popular flowers to put on a lei that goes around a person's neck. Maybe you smell the salty sea air, but you're relaxed. And I want you to think for a moment. The sand that you're laying on is minerals and seashells and little creatures, thousands of years of it. And the ocean nearby your feet, think of the vast expanse, the beauty and the life. The dolphins and the coral and the fish and the whales. Wow. I mean, that's all in there. Right at your toes. Let's take one more breath and just let loose our tension, relax our shoulders. Stretch them a little bit if you'd like. Move your eyebrows so your tension goes out of your forehead. Stretch your jaw back and forth. These are all spots that we carry tension in our body, and it's always just nice to remind ourselves to let it go. And when we're ready, let's just open our eyes. Come back from Hawaii. We'll go back at the end, don't worry. We'll go back at the end. And I wanted to start with that, and I wanted to emphasize the fact that there's so much life in the ocean. And the sand, and the sunshine, and here in this room, because the first point that Holmes makes in this chapter on how to heal your life and healing is that we are all one. And this is a very common belief and thought in new thought and divine science. And so you hear it over and over again, right? We're all one, we're all God. But let's be real. You know, we are in a 3D body. We are human beings. Sometimes it's hard to remember, okay? And it's always a good reminder to think and realize that God is in everything. Everything comes from God. There is just no separation. We are born from God. And God is harmony. God is peace. God is all that is good and holy and righteous. And God is health. And we're born from that. And yes, for whatever reason, our souls are here right now experiencing this 3D world and earth. And part of being in this human body is a sense of duality and a way that we get to experience contrast so that we more greatly are able to appreciate the moments where we feel God and we know that oneness and that togetherness. And so if you're not feeling too great, or if you're feeling a little bit sleepy or tired, realize that this is a prime opportunity, and every opportunity is a prime and beautiful opportunity to just gently remind yourself, okay. If you want to, go to that beach on Hawaii and say, okay, wait a minute, I'm a part of God, and God is everything, and God is all. And there's no real separation, it's just an illusion, it's just an experience we're having right now. And so that's the first point that Holmes makes. He says, you know, we're all one, and there's no separation, and that's the key here. He says, you know, there's no real sickness, it's an experience, because God is only health, right? And then he goes into, and I've always thought it was very fascinating, the discussion of the subconscious and the conscious mind. And, you know, this has been studied for years. And then, you know, the psychiatrists and psychologists, Freud and Jung, sort of explored it in the more modern day, if you will. And Holmes says, it's tricky because, again, there's no real separation. It's all one, but again, in our human forms, in this reality that we're living, there is, for whatever reason, the world that we're in right now, we have the experience of our conscious and our subconscious mind. And our unconscious mind acts regardless of whatever is told to it. Like, it'll just do whatever is told, okay? And the conscious mind is the one telling. And I love this example from my particular favorite New Thought author, Dr. Joseph Murphy. He says, okay, I want you to remember the old steamships. Like Titanic, if you will. That's not the greatest example, but those old steamships, right? And he says, I want you to think about how the people in the furnace room, the boiler room, they were manning these engines, they were manning the furnaces. They were handling the knots and the level of the speed. And they just had a phone to connect to the main deck and the captain. And whatever that captain said, they did. They didn't question it. They said, okay, the captain wants us to turn right. Okay, we're going to turn right. And they trusted that the captain and the people on the main deck were giving the instructions based on what they felt was best at the time. So Dr. Joseph Murphy says, okay, our subconscious mind is the furnace, the people in the furnace. It'll act, it'll do what you say, it'll do what your conscious mind tells it, whether or not it's bad. Whether it's, I'm going to sit here and it's Girl Scout cookie season and I'm going to eat an entire thing of Thin Mints, guess what, you know, you're going to do, you know? And you know, whether or not your conscious mind tells you that that's what you're going to do. Because your conscious mind is the captain of the ship. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now here's the tricky part. Sometimes the captain of the ship is a little bit stressed out, right? Sometimes the captain of the ship is a little bit tired or is feeling cranky or has a cold. Because these are all things in our 3D world that we experience, all experiences of duality, so that we can practice getting back to God. And so Holmes is like, all right, okay, so you're the captain, that's great. What do we do? What do we do to make sure we kind of have a better grip on our captain, right? And he talks about two things. He talks about the mental atmosphere and habits. Okay? So the mental atmosphere, I love to call it the primordial, the universal soup, man, the stew. We're all in it. You know, we're all in this atmosphere. We're all in this world. We're all in the universal mind. I think Jung called it the universal mind or something. So we're all in it. We're all part of it, right? And Holmes is like, watch what you're putting in. Watch what you're telling your below deck people. Because if you're feeding them a bunch of negativity, well, you're going to get a lot of belching smoke and some slow ship, and you're not going to make those turns as sharp. So be aware of what you're putting into your mind, into your subconscious. Because your mind will act on thought. Holmes says that a couple times. I can't remember the exact quote, but he talks about, oh, the pattern of thought is created by the way you think, right? So everything that you kind of you put in, it's going to come back out, okay? And so he talks about how he quotes a couple of medical journals and some doctors, and these doctors are like, honestly? The one surgeon in the chapter he mentions is like, most of the patients I see If they had changed their thinking, they would not have had to come see me. Your health and your wellness and your life is a product of your thought. And this is evidenced in countless scientific studies. You know, scientists put cells in a petri dish. They do it with plants. If you say nice, kind, beautiful things to the plants, and you water them and you feed them, all those puppies bloom. And then they play, and this is not a knock to anyone's music tastes, they play metal music and they scream at the plants. They don't really grow, despite having water and light, the same water and light as the plants that they were talking kindly to. And we are all just like those plants and just like the animals. We're all part of energy. We're all part of God. We're all from God. So think of yourself, if you want to, as like a plant. Like, am I yelling at the plant? Am I sitting in my car saying, oh my God, I am so stupid today. I didn't do any of the chores I needed to do this weekend. Or am I saying, there's still plenty of time. I can do more. You know, it's okay. Maybe I did what I needed to do. Be aware of how you're speaking to yourself. Be aware of the words and energy that you're putting into this stew that you're sitting in, this soup that you're bathing in, this soup, that's kind of gross, but this soup that you're just chilling in. Be aware of those thoughts. And I've mentioned before in the group that I visit my grandma in New England. And again, you know, no knock to New England. There's wonderful culture there and the Patriots, which are great. Anyone can argue with me on that, but I love the Pats. Anyway. But I have noticed that there is a very much an energetic and cultural difference in outlooks when I visit my grandma in New England. Love her to death, love my uncle to death, but they do tend to complain quite a bit, and I feel it. I feel the energetic difference. And that's an example of the mental atmosphere maybe not being as great as we might want it to be. So I have gotten in the habit of saying to her, okay, Grandma, yes, it is raining, but your garden is going to be so happy. And the air is going to smell so fresh after a rainstorm. And it's little things like that that you can alter. You can realize what you're putting into the mental atmosphere and change them slightly. And that segues into another point by Holmes, which is that what we're putting into the mental atmosphere is usually based on habit. Ah, tricky habits. Tricky, tricky, tricky habits, right? Whether it's I bite my nails, or I move my leg, you know, because you have restless leg syndrome or whatever. Or whether it's me, and it's like, oh, you're not going to bed till midnight every night, and you're going crazy. No, anyway, that's a habit I'm fixing. And habits, Holmes says, are literally just thoughts and actions that you have done so much. You have put so much conscious effort into doing these things. Get up in the morning, make your bed. Get up in the morning, make your bed. Tuck those corners on under tightly. My dad was in the army. He said it was like, you know, just do it. You have put so much conscious effort into it that it's just second nature now. And he said this can be good and this can be bad, right? Because, you know, with my grandma and my dad, who, you know, was raised in New England, sometimes I'll notice in the morning, he has a big thing about the weekends being like he wasted time. He feels like he wasted time because he slept until 9 on a Saturday. And he'll wake up and he'll start complaining, and I'll be like, hey, Dad, I've noticed that this is a habit of yours. You wake up and you complain. And I said, how about, and I've literally done it. I said, let's go sit on the porch and let's talk together. And we'll go sit on the porch and we'll talk together, and the dog will be at our feet, and we'll look at the sunshine, and we'll sit in the front yard. And we'll talk, and I'll be like, okay, you need to get some errands done today? All right, let's do it together. I'll go with you. I'm home this weekend. Let's just go for a drive. And he actually is able to feel a little bit better. And so Holmes is like, try to start making healthier habits. And now this isn't in the book, but this is just me going nitty gritty trying to find new ways to reshape habits, because I'm just fascinated by it. And it really is. Habits truly shape our lives. They really do. And so I was looking for ways, you know, ways to make healthy new habits and healthily break habits. And there's been techniques I've heard where people wear like a rubber band on their wrist, and like they go to the pantry going for that cookie, and they'll pull the rubber band, and it'll be a nice little snap to their wrist and remind them not to do that. But I think there's healthier ways. I think, first of all, it's important to identify that which you'd like to change, that which maybe you think could be more beneficial to you as a person. And that's a big thing, is to identify, number one. And then second, I found that rewording and reworking, resetting in a little, in another way of putting it. Like I said, I'll take my dad and I'll say, let's go outside, let's get some fresh air. Or if I'm stressed out at work, I will get up and I will literally go outside and I will touch a tree and I will feel that earth energy and that'll refresh me. So there's ways, you know, if you feel a bad habit coming on, reset, all right? Refocus your mind. Let me go outside for a little bit. Let me go say hi to the dog or the cat. Or let me just go look at this beautiful plant that's in my kitchen. Refocus your energy. Rework what you're putting into your mental atmosphere. There's also fun little ways I've sort of researched, if anyone wants to try, where you make literal charts. And maybe Lavanya would like to do it if she, you know, and you write down, okay, you know, start morning with prayer or exercise 15 minutes. And then you put pretty stickers or check marks or smiley faces. And that way you can literally physically see, I'm making these changes in my life, and that makes you feel good. So like in the morning, I'll have like, okay, wake up, make my bed, start my morning prayer, 5 minutes. And then make sure to practice Spanish today or do some exercise today. And then at the end of the day, I can be like, well, look at that. Look at that. I'm making good, happy, healthy habit changes. So those are just some suggestions, not in the book or anything, not that Holmes said, but that I think are always, you know, can be helpful. Because habits really do shape so much of our lives. And that goes back into, you know, it's your subconscious. It's ingrained into your subconscious. And so you just do it. And so refocus, rework, be like, you know, I made this one habit, I can do it again. Mm-hmm. And that makes it a lot less scary, I think. And so then Holmes talks about, he moves from habits to he moves about examples of right thinking, examples of how to help your health. I was thinking of two examples to use. And I've had personal examples. I've told my tooth example a lot. And then I was thinking of other examples from Dr. Joseph Murphy. He talks about, he says, have the faith of a child. And he uses this example, and I love that. And he says, I was talking with a family, because he did a lot of counseling with families as a minister. And he said, this little girl was like, oh, I was feeling sick one day. I had a sore throat and a cough. And she said, I just didn't want it anymore. So she said, this little girl sat down, and she just said, it's going away now. It's going away now, over and over. And he said, the girl told him within an hour or two, it was totally fine, and she was feeling totally better and was off and playing. So have the faith of a child when you're working with your health. Realize that you are absolutely going to get a response from your mind, because that is the nature of your mind. It's like a rubber band that you pull back, it's going to come back. It's like gravity. You drop something, it's going to drop. That is the law of mind. It's going to react. It's going to give you what you put into it. And I just love that example that he said, just have the faith of a child and believe and find peace in knowing that you'll get a response. And there's another example that I talked once or twice about from a movie called The Secret, which I've mentioned once or twice. It's how I first got into the law of attraction and new thought beliefs, from 2007, from a producer and author called Rhonda Byrne. And in that example, in that DVD, she interviews all sorts of experts, including Reverend Michael Beckwith, who's the foreword. He wrote the foreword for this Holmes edition that I have. And she interviews a woman, and she says, this woman said, I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, you have breast cancer. And you have quite a few tumors, and you're going to have to go through treatment, you're going to have to go through radiation and everything. And this woman just said, okay. And she said, I went home, and I started saying every single day, multiple times a day, like a song to myself, thank you for my health. And she put fresh flowers out, and she said, thank you for my health. Washing dishes, thank you for my health. She watched comedies. She made sure to listen to things that made her laugh and feel good. 3 months later, no treatment. She went to the doctor, and the doctor said, your x-ray is completely clear. You have absolutely no tumors, no spots. We have no reason to keep you. And that was no treatment whatsoever, except her mind. her mind treatment. And those are just beautiful, beautiful examples. And I'll share one from my personal life too. My grandmother, when my mom was in the 70s, when my mom was maybe 5, she was diagnosed with pancreatic and liver cancer. And the doctor said to her, "Go home. I know you have three young girls. You have 6 months to live. Write your will. We can't do anything for you." And my grandma said that she started praying. And now her version of praying is, of course, different than ours, but I believe firmly and completely that prayer is the same with the energy, if done earnestly and if done with a belief in a higher power and God and something that's going to heal and respond. My grandma's here today, 37 years later. Changes can be made. So-called miracles can happen, but all that is just having total and complete faith in God. Because remember, God is only health. God doesn't know sickness. God is holding you and embracing you and loving you and is saying, "My child, me, because we are God, why are you feeling this way? I am only health. I am only light and love, and I'm here for you, and I'm giving you that, and I can give you that any moment that you want." I think that's beautiful. And this kind of reminds me of a point that Holmes made earlier in the chapter, that our body knows what to do. When we go to sleep at night, we're breathing. Our blood is circulating in our veins. Our digestive system's going. Our brain is going. We're dreaming. Doctors study and say in REM sleep, our eyes are moving. How insane is that? What a blessing is that? That God is in us and God is keeping us moving and living. And I just think that when I was thinking of this talk, I started tearing up. Because I was like, how much love there is for something to watch over us like that. That's amazing to me. And that love is there, always. Always, always, always. And all you have to do is ask for it. And I was also thinking, I really wanted to tie this in, and so I think this is a good time to tie this in. So I go on forums because I love a good gossip. But this one message board I go to also has a really wonderful message board about law of attraction and some new thought. And so I always check it. And someone posted there a piece from Neville Goddard, who just magnificent guy. Dr. Joseph Murphy says he was the modern mystic, the modern visionary, and he was also a really prolific New Thought author, Neville Goddard. So Neville Goddard, and this just, oh my gosh, I read it, and I was just blown away by this point of view. Because it just makes so much sense when you think about it, but it just, we're programmed in this modern society to think a certain way, and it's not this way. But Neville Goddard says, "I want you to rethink how you're looking at the world," he says. "Everything that we see, our current reality, our current experiences, is a reflection, is a shadow of the past." And what he means by that is, he says, everything we see is a product of our past thoughts. This technically isn't the present, it's the result of our past thoughts. He says, now that doesn't mean I want you to totally disconnect from and ignore the physical world. You know, if you have a ball being thrown at your face, you know, don't let it hit you in the face. Reach up a hand, grab the ball. Respond appropriately. Go to the doctor, get some help. Take some rest, change your diet, start exercising. Take action in the physical world as is appropriate, as we are in this 3D body. But realize what you're experiencing now, if it's sickness, if it's anxiety, if it's how am I going to pay this bill, or oh my gosh, I got in a fender bender and now I have to go through insurance. That's all the past. You know, respond appropriately, call the insurance, you know, maybe set aside some money to budget. But realize that's all in the past. And right here and right now, you can start to change your mind and you can immediately start to live in your new reality, your new current present. And then your mind will respond, and next thing you know, the results and the shadows that you're seeing are better and are more beneficial because you've changed your thought. So it's like I was trying to think of a really good example for it. It's like, okay, so I go into my computer in the morning and I program it to say, in 24 hours, tell me hello.
Okay?
The program's running. So the next day I show up at work, 24 hours later, bing, hello! So in the present, yes, that program's popping up saying hello, but it's only doing that because I programmed it before to say hello. So let's say right now I put in a program that caused me to feel really sick, and I'm like, oh dang, I have a cold, right? Well, guess what I can do? I can go into my brain right now because we can program this reality. And I can say, all right, now I'm thinking, the love of God flows through me. God is pure health and joy. God's energy warms me and ignites me from within. And that's a new program. And guess what's going to happen? That computer's going to start running. And next thing you know, bing, hello. New program popping out at you. And I was just like, holy moly. I was in the car. I literally, don't do this, folks. I read it at a red light, though. It was at a red light. The car wasn't moving. And I literally remember sitting back in my chair and being like, I have never thought of reality like that. That this is all just our past experiences, and we can really genuinely change and reprogram for the future. That was just so cool to me, and I had to share that. And I also wanted to share, I learned a new term from a friend of mine. She's fantastic. She's a massage therapist. She's into essential oils, lots of great stuff, hypnosis. And I was telling her, I was like, oh, I'm doing a chat on some new thought tomorrow and some health. And I was telling her, I was like, well, the concept is the universal mind. And she's like, oh yeah, the RAS. And I was like, what? And she said, it's called the reticular activation system, which I hadn't heard before. So I was like, that's cool. Tell me about that. It is essentially, literally, a part of your brain in the back that is connected to what Jung called the universal mind. And what you do is you put what you want into your mind, and like a homing beacon, it'll start to attract what you want to you. It's actually an actual thing. Reticular activation system, she said. And that is because we're all one. We're all together. And so you put that thought in, and your brain's like, ding, ding, ding. All right, bring me some cool people. Or, you know, bring me health. And then the universe is like, I see you. I got you. And then it comes forward. And I was like, that's so cool. I got to share that, too. So I learned that this week. That was neat. But I also wanted to share that Neville piece, because that was just amazing to me. So just to end, to recap, just remember that we are all one. We are all in God. And God is health. God is beauty. And you know what? Maybe you're experiencing some struggles right now, or you're feeling a little bit under the weather. But you can input what you want and program and change that. And it's absolutely possible. And realize utterly and completely, you are loved. And it's what I realized and started tearing up about. It's that God loves you so much that you are able to live while you sleep. You are able to do things. I'm able to sit here and talk to you right now, and my heart is beating. And I think that there's a Bible quote, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And of course, fearfully translates to respectfully. We are respectfully and wonderfully made. We were so loved and adored by God that we came into these bodies with the love of God permeating our every system and our every action, programmed to live, programmed this ability to program our lives. And I just think that's amazing. And what a love like that. Remember that you're always in that, and you're able always to access that. And you can change habits, and you can change programs. Identify, rework, and implement. And it's possible. And I just want to end again. I told you we're going back to Hawaii, so let's end with a quick little meditation again. So just take a deep breath. We'll just let the stuff we've heard from Holmes and Goddard and Dr. Joseph Murphy soak into our brain and our subconscious. Dr. Joseph Murphy calls it spiritual osmosis, right? It'll soak in through the membrane of our minds. And that's beautiful, too. So now I want us to imagine we're in Hawaii, and we've had a great night's sleep. We are awake, and we're feeling so energized. And we're like, okay, I want to go watch the sunrise. So I want you to imagine right now you're sitting on a palm tree. And it's smooth beneath you, and the leaves are beautiful green, deep, luscious green, and they're blowing in the light early morning breeze. And you're sitting on this palm tree and you're looking out at the horizon. And then the sunrise begins. Starts, and this sunrise can be whatever you want it to be, but this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the sun coming up, a kiss of tangerine, and it spreads like watercolor along the horizon. And it ignites the water, it's aquamarine. Warms the life and world and says, good morning. And then maybe there's other colors, sweet pea pink, lavender, robin's egg blue, lemon drop yellow. And the sun is rising, and the rays are warm on your face. And the sun is just saying hello, and God is saying hello. A reminder that I'm here and I'm always here. You take a deep breath in, exhale it. And the waves are lapping at the shore in your ears. Oh, that beautiful rhythm, like a mother's lullaby. And maybe the breeze smells like coconut or hibiscus. Guava or mango. And you feel at peace, and you look at this sunrise, and there is promise. And maybe you're gonna go and you're gonna lay on the beach all day, or maybe you're gonna go grab a delicious bite to eat, or maybe you're gonna go hike on the mountain and look at the rainbows and the waterfalls. But you have promise and you have beauty. And there is always hope and you can always change and there's always a sunrise. And if we want to just sit here for a minute, if you have a message from God or anything that you just want to think on, or if you want to receive anything, just sit here for a minute. Coming back from Hawaii now, but that sunrise is always within you. And laying on that beach is always within you, and realizing that the beauty and fullness and lushness of God, the Hawaiian Islands, the expanse of the ocean, the beauty of a deep, deep forest in the Pacific Northwest, the gorgeous, glowing piles of snow from a snowstorm. Nature is luscious. Nature is bountiful. God is giving and God is love, and that's always within you. That sunrise is always there in you if you need it. Let's just wiggle our fingers and our toes. Let's kind of move around our shoulders if we want. Take another deep breath and let it out when you're ready. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And we give thanks for that love, because what a love. Thank you all.
Wow. Thank you.